I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. As we talked about at the top of today's show, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, if confirmed, could be the next Supreme Court justice succeeding Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And though the two women are on opposite sides of the political spectrum, they do have one thing in common, crediting their husbands for supporting them personally and professionally. Here's Barrett at the White House on Saturday.
I couldn't manage this very full life without the unwavering support of my husband, Jesse. At the start of our marriage, I imagined that we would run our household as partners. As it has turned out, Jesse does far more than his share of the work.
Ginsburg was also known for praising her husband, Marty, for his unfailing support.
My first two cancer bouts, Marty stayed with me. He stayed with me in the hospital, sleeping on an uncomfortable couch despite his bad back. And I knew that someone was there who really cared about me and would make sure that things didn't go wrong.
But having a Marty Ginsburg or Jesse Barrett kind of spousal support is rare for many professional women today, and the pandemic has exacerbated that. Despite men spending more time at home since March, domestic responsibilities are still falling disproportionately on women, and that includes everything from doing the housework to teaching the children. In some cases, working women have had to reduce their working hours 4 to 5 times more than their male counterparts. For more on this, I'm joined by Caitlin Collins, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Washington University in St. Louis. Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Hello, thanks for the invitation.
And Patty Cohen is an economics correspondent for the New York Times. Patty, thanks for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's start with you, Patty. Why is the pandemic disproportionately affecting mothers in heterosexual couples? What's the biggest way it is affecting them?
Well, I think we've got to take one step back and realize that even before the pandemic, there was an incredible imbalance between the work that mothers and fathers do when there are children. Even before that, you have women providing close to 70% of child care, and that's during standard working hours. And so when you think about it now, add on the pandemic, so that burden has been supersized as schools and other activities shut down, everything from cleaning services to babysitters. And so it's just really emphasizing this inequity and imbalance that existed beforehand.
So a lot of things, Patty, at least among potentially upper middle class families, were being outsourced. You mentioned cleaning services and things like that. And now that those things have been taken away, essentially because of the pandemic's restrictions, the burden is still falling on women.
Right. I mean, the burden was always heavier on women, and now it's even more so. And at least in wealthier households or higher income households, it's possible for one income to perhaps cover the expenses in a way that's not possible in lower income households. So they're really hurt there, because not only are we talking about a kind of disparity between the parents, but it's also an income inequality issue, because in those households, you need both incomes really to pay the bills.
Caitlin, do we have any quantitative data that backs up what we're talking about here?
We do. Both before the pandemic and during the pandemic, we have an abundance of evidence, especially beforehand, that shows that women are bearing the disproportionate burden for domestic responsibilities. Patty mentioned childcare and, of course, also housework. Women do roughly 2/3 of the housework and childcare in heterosexual couples in the United States today. And during the pandemic, when we take a look at working hours specifically, it is women and not men who are reducing their working hours. From a study I did earlier this summer, it appears that women in heterosexual married couples with children are reducing their work hours on the order of roughly 2 hours per week. And this has really troubling consequences when we think through the impact of that on women's labor force participation and on their future earnings, their trajectory in the labor market. And without robust policy supports, I fear that this is going to have disastrous consequences for a generation of working moms.
Caitlin, I'm a Gen Xer, and I can speak for some of us, maybe not all of us, but there was an assumption that at some point this division would have been erased for our generation, at least to a certain extent. It appears to have been exacerbated instead by this pandemic. But beyond that, as you both mentioned, this is not new. Caitlin, why are men not pulling their weight when it comes to domestic responsibilities?
I will say that men today do more around the house than their fathers did in previous generations, but the additional labor that men are doing at home is primarily in the arena of childcare and not housework. And we have to think of the household as a deeply gendered institution, right? Our ideas about who can and should be doing housework and childcare are differently associated with men and women, right? In general, stereotypical and in many people's opinions, outdated ideals of family life mean that men are thought of as breadwinners and women as homemakers. Of course, that's no longer the reality. Women work nearly on par with men in the paid labor force, yet we haven't seen concurrent change on the part of men's behavior at home in splitting up a more egalitarian division of labor in the domestic sphere. And I think that's because we tend to continue gender stereotyping domestic work as women's responsibility. But of course, men are every bit as capable of housework and childcare as women are today. And it's that behavioral change on the part of men that will really help further equality in the household and also, of course, its consequences for paid work, too.
Patty, we've talked in broad strokes here about people who are in opposite sex couples, but I want to drill down a little bit if we can. Do we know whether this is exacerbated by race? For example, are women of color experiencing more inequity than their white counterparts?
Well, I think that's where you have this overlay of, socioeconomic status and race and ethnicity, because, minority women are disproportionately lower income. And so the burdens on them are that much greater. They're also perhaps more likely to be in jobs that you can't do remotely from home. We see during the pandemic that that's clearly also tends to have an economic factor to it as well. So in all cases, all of these trends that we've been talking about tend to hit minority women even harder.
And I'm wondering, Caitlin, drilling down even further, is there any research that looks at same-sex couples and how the division might be playing out there?
Same-sex couples tend to have a more equal division of labor at home. And I think that gets back to the point I made earlier, which is that when we stereotype these tasks as being associated with men and women in same-sex couples, the gendered dynamic of that is removed to a degree. So research finds consistently that same-sex couples have more equal households than heterosexual couples do.
Turns out that some of our listeners have noticed their relationship dynamics changing in recent months.
Hi, my name's Shiloh Strawbridge. I'm calling from Vista, California. And in the pandemic, I feel like I'm pulling all the weight in the household. Meanwhile, my spouse thinks he's pulling all the weight, too. We recognize there's just a lot more weight to be pulled, but we still feel both resentful and grateful we're not doing this alone.
Patty, we sort of opened this talking about, we just heard a caller, sort of building on what we've been talking about. But at the very top, we talked about Jesse Barrett and Marty Ginsburg, two men whose wives went on, at least in Ginsburg's case, to become a Supreme Court justice, the other whose wife is in the running to be a Supreme Court justice, and both of them cited their spousal support as critical to making that happen. Patty, why aren't there more Marty Ginsburgs and Jesse Barretts in the world?
Well, I love the way that you started this part of the segment with that call, which is the mother complaining that her spouse thinks he's doing more. And what's so interesting is that there are a lot of research. In fact, the Times did a poll earlier on, and father's perception of the work they were doing was incredibly outsized in proportion to mother's perception of the work that they were doing. I think it was something like half of the fathers said they were spending more time on it than their spouse, but only 3% of women agreed with that statement. And so, we're all, in fairness, look, we're all very aware of the time that each person individually that we spend ourselves doing something, and perhaps less aware of it than what your spouse is doing. Perhaps one of the positives of staying home during the pandemic, if you have fathers staying home as well, is that they get to see firsthand a little bit more of just all of the work that's involved, a lot of which seems to get done oftentimes behind the scenes that they're not aware of. But look, it's just what we've been talking about this whole show in terms of the gender roles and discrimination and the assumptions, the cultural biases that are still very prevalent here. And so it is unusual for men to take the dominant role, certainly in terms of all the household responsibilities in addition to childcare.
Speaking of our caller at the top, one of the things that Viola, our caller, said was that they're both resentful about having to do more, but they're also both grateful they're not doing it alone. And Caitlin, I want to ask you about that element here, because not everybody's in a relationship. Not everybody has a spouse to begin with. I mean, I am the sole caretaker for my son since the pandemic started. There are single parents in the world and there are single people in the world. How is all this affecting them?
I think single parents are struggling in a way that heterosexual and even same-sex couples can't comprehend. The idea that you have a partner at home as a both an emotional but also a material source of support day-to-day around the house is invaluable. When we think about how difficult this pandemic has been in terms of the added workload that goes into maintaining a household today, but also the distress and exhaustion, burnout, overwhelm, worry that parents today are feeling. And so single parents in particular who don't have a partner to lean on in the same way that coupled people do, I think we really need to be thinking about how we can better support these folks. The idea that amongst at least professional and white collar workers who are working from home these days are trying to simultaneously care for children because schools and daycares have opened unevenly means that parents are trying to simultaneously care for kids and get their work done. And for those workers who have to go into work every day, I can't even fathom the sorts of patchwork solutions they need to come up with in order to maintain their employment. To me, this really spells disaster for single parents, and we need to do more materially to support them with policy.
As one myself, I will have to say in transparency, I agree with that. Patty, we've started to reopen here, and I think there have been fits and starts as far as like the success of those efforts. But at the end of the day, mostly people are still being very precautious. Most companies are still, you know, a large percent of their workforce are still at home. And it feels like women, it doesn't feel like it, it appears that women are still sacrificing their careers. Why is it that women are the ones to say, you know what, I'll pull back on my career. I'll do less, you know, of this so that I can do more at home. Why do we feel that burden specifically?
Well, I think there's two reasons for it. One, and again, there's differences according oftentimes to income. In upper income households, oftentimes the men will earn more than the woman. So if one person is going to pull back, it may be an economic decision in terms of having the higher income earner, which oftentimes more frequently is the man, take the primary role and have the woman pull back. In lower income families, when oftentimes both members of the couple are earning about the same, again, it's one of those things where culturally it just the assumption is and just the habits are of all that, that women pull back and that women have to take on the added burdens of not only at this point housework and childcare, but even schooling. And a lot of the recent research is showing that, once again, mothers are the ones who predominantly are taking on this role of doing the extra schooling that's filling in now that schools are closed.
Caitlin, you mentioned the extra burden that's falling on single parents in particular, but across the board, I think what's being raised here is really, you know, there's the sort of tongue-in-cheek, where is everybody's Marty Ginsburg question or Jesse Barrett? But there's also the reality that this is a hard thing to be doing right now. What are some policy solutions that you see that could help mitigate some of the stress for parents, whether they're in couples or not in couples?
Look, the U.S. has the most family-hostile public policy of any country in the Western industrialized world. Before the pandemic, parents had no access to things like paid parental leave, high-quality, affordable childcare. There's no federal minimum standard for vacation or sick days. And during the pandemic, this means that parents have very little flexibility and caregiving support. And if we think realistically here, our childcare infrastructure is the thing on which every other part of our economy relies. People's ability to work is dependent on their ability to have their kids safe and taken care of while they engage in paid work. And so, to my way of thinking, our federal policies need to be aimed at first reopening schools and daycares as safely as possible before we open things like restaurants, bars, and retail again. It is that basic feature of our economic infrastructure that we have to support safely in order to support working families today. So childcare infrastructure, and then of course giving parents a bit more flexibility when it comes to reducing their hours or taking time, crisis time off, which has been part of the most recent policy package and I think needs to be extended. The ability to have a bit more flexibility is really, really important for working parents today.
Caitlin Collins is an assistant professor of sociology at Washington University in St. Louis. And Patty Cohen is a national economics correspondent for the New York Times. Patty and Caitlin, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.